May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The normal color for Christmas is white. We're still in the Christmas season until the 6th of January, 12 days of Christmas. But today we're in red. We'll be red again on Wednesday. Wednesday is the Feast of the Holy Innocents, when all the children who were slaughtered by Herod are remembered. But today is the Feast of St. Stephen. It was martyred, and so red is the color you wear for that. And so I thought we'd talk a little bit about St. Stephen and let him minister to us a little bit. He prays for us. I'm grateful. Stephen's before the council because God was using him to perform signs and wonders. So the council was offended, the Sanhedrin. They brought him before them, and he began to share a revelation about the coming Messiah and that Jesus was that Messiah. And when he gets to the end of his short little sermon, verse 54, it says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the quick and began gnashing their teeth at him." That makes me feel so much better about when I preach or teach, sometimes people fall asleep. This is worse. So he would have probably been happy with the falling asleep. At least they're not gnashing their teeth at me yet. But then it says this, "But being full of the Holy Spirit," the language there, being continually full of the Holy Spirit, "he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And behold, I see the heavens opened up," he says, "and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice, covered their ears, and rushed upon him with one impulse. When they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him, and the witnesses laid their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul, who became Paul. And they went on stoning Stephen as he called upon the Lord and said, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' And having said this, he fell asleep." Just a remarkable, remarkable scripture. You know, in America, we, in other countries, you remember your national heroes and different people. We have different things. We have George Washington Day, Martin Luther King Day, and those are all good things. But sadly, the church doesn't celebrate their heroes. We have 2,000 years of heroes. It's one of the reasons liturgical worship is so important, liturgical calendar is so important, because we're reminding people, hey, we have heroes that really play a bigger part and a role in our lives than any of the national heroes ever could. And this is one of our great heroes. Now, here is a man who tells the truth to people, a truth that can change their lives. And their reaction to him is gnashing their teeth at him and eventually taking him out and stoning him to death. Now, I can't imagine too many other ways to die that would be more painful. I mean, you die one stone at a time, and the pain must have been horrific until you finally get numb and all that kind of thing. But instead of anger and unforgiveness, at the end, while he's falling on his knees, he says, "Lord, receive my spirit." He says, "Lord, don't hold this sins against them." And he fell asleep. That sounds a lot like his hero, the Lord Jesus. As he hung on the cross, being mocked, he's been spit-covered, bruised, beaten up, wearing a crown of thorns, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." And actually, if you've been around him for a while, you know the language there is that the grammar is he had been saying that over and over again. So all along the journey of carrying the cross, being beaten, being spit on, again and again, Jesus was murmuring those words, "Father, forgive them, for they know what they're doing. Father, forgive them, for they know what they're doing." And as he hung on the cross and the two thieves were mocking him, Jesus kept just saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know what they're doing. Father, forgive them, for they know what they're doing." And at some point, one of the thieves broke. His name was Dismas. And Dismas begins to rebuke the other thief and saying, why do you keep mocking him? It refers to him as a king. Now, earlier, this same Dismas was mocking Jesus, so now he refers to him as a king, rebukes the other thief that's still mocking, and then he looks at Jesus, he says, today, remember me in your kingdom. And Jesus said, I will. His name is Saint Dismas. He's the great saint of all prisoners for 2,000 years, the patron saint. Now, what happened to Dismas? He had heard it over and over again. Just the grace of God, the mercy of God, the love of God coming forth from Jesus. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. And he had never encountered anything like that before. And at some point, it broke him. And he realized, there's something different about this man. There's not bitterness coming out of him. There's not rage and anger, revenge coming out of him. There's not threats. It says in 1 Peter, he uttered no threats. And it broke this man's heart. And he realized who Jesus was. And in that last moment of his life, he was transformed. When I think about Stephen, there was a very strategic person there who became the most important figure in the whole New Testament, wrote more New Testament scripture than any other person, Paul. And he was a great persecutor of the church. He was filled with anger and revenge, and yet he's holding all the garments for the people because they wanted to get their robes off so they could throw better. And as they're killing Stephen, what Paul, who then is still called Saul, hears this man say, Lord, don't hold their sins against them. You think that Saul had heard the stories about this Jesus who had said that from the cross? I'm sure. And later on the Damascus Road, when the Holy Spirit comes and the Lord just knocks him down, he says, why do you continue to kick against the goads? There are things that are punching against your conscience. It was this thing. He saw something. But if Stephen had been in anger, bitterness, resentment, fear, rage, all of history would have been different. This young man, Saul, had a whole life ahead of him that was shaped because he encountered Christ in a person who was being mistreated. And when I look at this scripture, I think it says about Stephen, see, a lot of us live our Christian life that when we find ourselves in a crisis or when somebody hurts us, and they will hurt you, right? People will disappoint you, won't they? They'll betray you. We find ourselves scrambling with all kind of broken emotions into the presence of the Lord to try to get okay. That's a dangerous thing. It's much better to already be there and stay in that place and then flow from it instead of trying to get to it. Live from it. He was being constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. Same thing it said about Jesus in Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And because he was constantly filled with the Holy Spirit, he didn't look at the people, it says. He gazed intently. Now, you know that sometimes you're in situations, and I think being betrayed or being hurt by someone is the most difficult one. That it's really important that you have to gaze intently and get heaven's report. That you don't focus on what somebody's done to you. Part of the era of inner healing ministry, if we're not careful, we keep people constantly focused on the hurt. You can't get okay that way. You have to look past, and sometimes you have to gaze intently. Be very intentional. I'm not going to let my emotions control. I'm not going to let what's being said, what's being done. I'm going to look past all that and gaze intently into heaven. And what he saw was the glory of God. He saw Jesus standing. Jesus wasn't sitting. Jesus was standing in approval, ready to receive him. So really what he did was he looked beyond what people were doing because he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he saw that this was about the glory of God. that God was going to somehow be glorified through all this. That he was going to be in the presence of the Lord in some new way, that Jesus was winning here somehow. That he wasn't losing or missing out because somebody hurt him or abandoned him, rejected him. And it's from that place, because he didn't believe they were costing him anything. He saw the glory of God. He had to look intently, gaze there. He saw the glory of God and the presence of Jesus waiting him for him. And that Jesus was somehow winning. This is all about glory. And it's from that place he was able to, it was easy to then go, well, Lord, don't hold them against him. They're not costing me anything. Y'all hear what I'm saying to you? It's time we stopped believing that somehow what other people have done to you have cost you something precious. The only thing that can cost you is if you believe in the earth report. They may have been, these guys were pretty bad, right? Gnashing their teeth at you and stoning you is a bad thing. So they weren't like good people. But he saw the glory of God. He saw somehow Jesus winning. He saw somehow he was going to be in the presence of the Lord. That's true, personally for you. Somebody's doing something, hurting you, disappointed you, betrayed you. Can you look past them? Can you see the glory of God that's going to come about through all this? Can you understand that somehow your reward from all this is going to be presence of God? Can you live in heaven's report and from that place, Father, don't hold this sin against him. That's where love flows from. I've said this before, I'll say it again. One of my favorite quotes by Heidi Baker is, she kind of got it from Mother Teresa, but love looks like something. It doesn't just feel like something. And I've discovered that the most important thing that love looks like is forgiveness. But forgiveness is based on believing that nobody has the power to take anything from you that has any eternal value. Nobody. That was worth coming on St. Stephen's Day, wasn't it? So I'll tell you this is another quickie. This won't take us long to communion. The song King Wenceslas. You ever heard that song? It's a true story. It happened on the feast of St. Stephen. King Wenceslas had somebody poor come to his castle to receive and was turned away. And when Wenceslas heard about him being turned away, it was deep snow, and so it was very, very, very cold. He went rushing out of the house, that castle, to chase him down, and forgot to put shoes on. And his servant didn't have a chance to put shoes on. But instead of freezing to death, because he was taking stuff to this poor person, everywhere Wenceslas stepped in the snow, it left a place of warmth. And all the servant had to do was step into the footsteps, and his feet never even got cold. It was a miracle, sign and wonder. That happened on the feast of St. Stephen's. That's just extra.